Before we start today's episode of 3 and 30 Takeaways for Moms, I wanted to tell you that I want to meet you in person, and there's going to be a couple of opportunities for us to do that this fall. I'm teaching at two workshops, one in Draper, Utah on September 28th and 29th, and one in Henderson, Nevada, which is close to Las Vegas, on November 17th. And I'll tell you more about the Las Vegas event as it gets closer, but I wanted to tell you today about the event in Utah in September. This event is called Rediscover You, and it's put on by the podcaster Monica Packer, whose show is called About Progress, and she is genuinely one of my best podcasting friends and kindred spirits. I'm so honored that she's asked me to be a guest teacher at her workshop. It's going to be an intensive two-day, small, intimate workshop where you will really get to know the other women there and the presenters. We'll really get some good time together. Monica is going to be teaching about overcoming perfectionism and finding progress in your life. I am going to be teaching about how to be the mom that you are instead of the mom that you think you should be. And then another awesome woman, Kim Christensen from the website Talk Wordy to Me, is going to be teaching about mindfulness and finding peace and stillness in our nonstop world. This is really a dive deep event, and you can find out more about it at Monica's website About Progress, or on my website, I will put a link. If you live in Utah or near Utah, I would genuinely love to meet you. There is a promotion going through the end of July for $50 off a ticket. So if you are interested, make sure that you go and grab a ticket now before this sells out. I'll remind you again about this at the end of the episode. But for now, let's dive in to today's topic, which is how and why to adventure as a family. Welcome to 3 and 30. A podcast for moms who want to create more meaning in motherhood. Each 30-minute episode will feature three doable takeaways for you to try at home with your family this week. I'm your host, Rachel Nielsen. Thank you so much for being here. Before I had kids, I dreamed of adventuring with my future family. I just knew we would be out in nature all the time, or going on service trips around the world, going on road trips to beautiful places, and having perfect moments under the stars, looking at campfires. In fact, I actually have evidence of how I thought life would be, because I have a copy of the adoption profile that my husband and I put together before we adopted our first child. And we had to sort of like write out what our vision of the future looked like for our family. And so just for fun, before this interview, I pulled out the adoption profile and looked at it. And sure enough, I had some grand plans for what it would be like to be a mom. And this is just a tiny excerpt of what I thought motherhood would be like for myself and our family. I wrote in there, "We dream of having a big, loud, and loving family, and we're excited about the changes that will occur in our lives when we become parents. Rachel will use her skills as a teacher to plan learning-based adventures for the family, such as a journey to camp by the Mississippi River after we've read Huckleberry Finn, or a road trip to Washington, D.C. after we've studied American history." And okay, I appreciate 25-year-old Rachel's enthusiasm there, but honestly, I can barely read my kids' bedtime stories at the end of the day because I'm so exhausted, let alone plan learning adventures camping by the Mississippi River. So daily life with children is in and of itself an adventure, and sometimes that's all we can manage. But sometimes we are in seasons where we can and we want to do more, and we want to build memories with our children and get out into the world more together. And that's why I'm so excited about today's guest, who's going to teach us a bit more about how to adventure with our kids and why it's so important. Her name is Shemaine Wallenzine. She's the founder of a website and a movement called Wandering Families, and she has 5 children of her own, ages 3.5 to 9, with whom she does all of this wandering. And yes, if she can adventure with 5 little children, then so can I, right? So I am so excited to welcome Shemaine to 3 in 30 podcast. Thanks for being here.
Oh my gosh, thanks so much. I am so excited. And I love that Mississippi River idea. Now I want to do that.
And brilliant. You probably could pull it off. I'm thinking we might need to start small and just
yes.
Camp close to home and then work up to the Mississippi River.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea for sure.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, so tell us more about why you started Wandering Families.
Okay, so I have total full disclosure here. I did not grow up as an adventurous person at all. I don't even think I actually went on one hike until I was teaching my first year in Arizona, and I saw that generic screensaver of Havasu Pie Falls. And I thought, oh my heck, I want to go there, but how can I do it without paying for it? And so I wrote a grant proposal to the state of Arizona, and I got $10,000 to take my students there. And because of that experience, I became addicted to hiking and camping and backpacking. And I saw the look on my students' eyes, and I thought, this is one day when I get married, we're doing this with my children, because it was pure magic. And so when I finally got married, my husband was a big time, his family, he was a camper. That's all his family did for family vacations. And so for us, it was just an easy transition to, as soon as we started having babies, we just brought them with us. And I think the youngest I ever did a hike was, my baby was about 6 weeks old, and we just hiked, 6 miles. And so my children have been doing this since they were itty bitty. And so it's easier for them now, but the good news is this is something that every family can do. Like every single family can apply and start small and then become more adventurous. So it's super fun.
I love that. And when did you sort of formalize it and make it into more of like to make the website and
Yes. So I would post on my own personal, Instagram pictures and stuff. And I had a lot of friends, and they would say, how in the world are you doing this with your 5 children? And where are you finding these ideas? And finally, I thought, wait, why am I not sharing these ideas with others? And so I just sat around, and when I'd go on hikes with my kids, we would talk, and we realized that we are a wandering family of sorts. And so that's where that came from. And we just went from there.
And I love that, wandering family. It's a cool little term.
Thanks.
For you.
It is. It's
and so
fun.
What did you teach?
I taught 7th grade Utah Studies and 8th grade U.S. History.
Cool.
Yeah, it was super fun.
Camping by the Mississippi River, yes, and road tripping to Washington, D.C. probably does appeal to you.
Absolutely does.
We're going to talk today about 3 takeaways about how to be more adventurous with our kids and why it's important. So why don't you go ahead and tell us our first takeaway?
Okay, our first takeaway is to create opportunities to learn how to become adventurous is a skill. So there is a great book, everyone needs to read it. It's called, and you would love it, it's called How to Raise a Wild Child. And when I first saw this at the library, I thought, yeah, my kids are wild enough. I don't need this. But it's not about that. It's by Scott Sampson, who does Dinosaur Train on PBS. And it's all about having and teaching us how to help our children fall in love with nature. And can I just share this incredible quote from his book?
Yes, please do.
It says, the natural world seems to invite and facilitate parent-child connection and sensitive interactions. Unplugging and taking a baby away from electronic distractions creates an opportunity for what is called affective sharing. Ooing and awing together over the sun shining through the leaves of a big tree, feeling a soft spring rain or a light winter snowfall on your face. And when I read that, it just hit me. I thought, oh my gosh, this is why we love to be in nature. This is why my kids don't whine as much. This is why they get along. It's because we are sharing in that magic together. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so I loved it. But then I realized that I wasn't adventurous. Remember? Didn't do it at all. And I learned how to become adventurous and how to hike and things.
Mm-hmm. So it isn't, it wasn't something that was naturally innate.
No, not
it
at
was,
all.
It was a skill that you practiced and learned.
Yes.
And
yes.
Similarly, it's not going to be necessarily natural and innate for our children, especially for certain personalities of kids. And right. We have to give them opportunities to learn it, how to be adventurous.
Right. Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. So my second daughter, she was probably 5 years old one night at the time. And we went downstairs and she was just crying. And we said, Maisie, what is wrong? And she said, I'm not a camper. I'm not a hiker. I'm a stay-at-homer. I was born in the wrong family. And we thought, oh my gosh. And she didn't enjoy it. She hated hiking. She hated it all. She hated getting dirty. She would rather stay at home and play dress up and with dolls. But we just kept going. And we always say we are a hiking family and we just do it. And she is our best hiker. Honestly, she never complains. She's a mountain goat. And I think it's just all about tenacity. You just keep going. And really when you have children, the hardest part is getting out the door. Mm. And if you make that effort and you just get out the dang door, it really becomes a lot more easy. And the more often you do it, the easier it is. Now, I have young children though. If I had older children and I was trying to start this, it would be a completely different situation. And so I think some of the distractions that I can use with my young children wouldn't work for older kids. And so I know that one thing that has worked well, we have older cousins or friends, is if you have older children and you want to become more adventurous, invite their friends along or invite their cousins along. So that way they're naturally distracted and they're enjoying it with a friend.
Definitely. Yeah. And I even feel that way with my young children. Like my Noah, who's 6, almost 7, when he's with his cousin, who's just a couple years older than him, he's not as likely to whine and complain because he wants to keep up with his favorite cousin. And so, you know, having a little bit of positive peer pressure there can be a good thing.
Exactly. And so one way that we have found with giving our kids confidence and grit, because they have to learn it from, you know, the time they're young, is we present opportunities which might be kind of tricky. So we find hikes that we know will be hard for them. Not crazy hard, but just it'll challenge them a little bit. The first time we did a Slot Canyon, it was tricky because it was so tight. I mean, I could not even carry my baby's backpack, let alone the baby in the pack. So I had to take off the pack and my baby was, I don't know, he was probably 9 months old. And I literally had to put him on the ground and just kick him through because it was so tight. And
you had to kick him through.
I know, is that not awful?
That's not giving me a good visual.
It's, well, like, because I was, you know, squeezed between two walls and I put him on the ground. And I just nudge him with my. And he
so you had it. To nudge him. You had to scoot him through, right?
Scoot him through, yes. Scoot him through. And it was, oh, it was hard. It was really hard. But my children did it and they cried parts of it because it was hard. And then a year later, when we went back to that same Slot Canyon, they literally scrambled up everything, even the baby. He was older, of course, too. But and they loved it. And we did it in the rain that time and it was wet and it was cold. And they had the confidence because they had done it the previous year, you know, that they knew they could do that. And so we try to find hikes or activities where it just pushes them a little bit because they need to practice that and they need to try and feel that confidence with that comes from succeeding. And I remember this is my brother. He said something that was so powerful one time. His kids are crazy confident and they are crazy agile. And I'm just like, John, how do you do that? And he said, Shemaine, this is what I do. I watch my children before they do something. And I stop myself and I think, okay, what's the worst possible outcome? If it's death, I stop them immediately. But if it's not death, if it's like a broken bone, I let them do it. And he has never had a kid break a bone. He said, because children can do more than we realize. Mm-hmm. And so I try to keep that in the back of my mind. Sometimes I literally have to turn my head away and not watch, be like, oh my gosh, they're going to fall off that log. I know it. Oh, you know, but they don't. And that's another way that I have found increases my children's confidence is to let them practice those risks.
Yeah. You know, I went to a presentation once by a woman. She's the founder of Timbernook. Have you heard of Timbernook?
I haven't, but I'm going to write that down.
It's more on the East Coast, but it's like a movement of outdoor play in school. I feel like it's similar to Waldorf.
Cool.
And she's a pediatric physical therapist, and she saw that so many children were coming to her for help with things like balance and gross motor skills and fine motor skills, all these things that in previous generations children didn't struggle with as much.
Yeah.
And she started to make the connection that it was because children weren't playing outside as much.
Right.
And they weren't allowed to take the same risks. And so they weren't developing the ability. So like they would fall more because mm-hmm. as small children, they hadn't been allowed to climb and to learn how to balance. So
right.
then as older children, when they climbed, they didn't know how to balance and they couldn't stop themselves from falling. So she said that the best thing to do is exactly what you just said, to let them take some risks, because that is actually physiologically preparing their body to know how to keep them safe when they're
right.
when they're older. And it was so right. interesting. I definitely want to get her on the podcast at some point.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, the Scott Sampson in that book, How to Raise a Wild Child, he addresses something similar to that.
Going along with it being a skill, I assume that you start small, right?
You wouldn't
advise that I go take my kids to a slot canyon in the rain.
No, not at all.
Like, I need to start with something small, easy, close to home, short.
Yes.
And then work up to some of these harder things when I know what I and my kids are capable of.
And if you've never done it before, find like a little trail, a nature trail, you know, like those little boardwalk ones or along the river or something, and just walk that way. I would definitely not. And we have built up to this. I mean, my children, this year was the very first year they finally hiked 8.5 miles. I was blown away that they could do that. But it's taken us, you know, 6 years of going all the time. So mm-hmm. definitely start small, because if you don't start small too, they'll hate it. And you want them to have fun on it. So they want to continue to go outside more often. And Scott Sampson, that was another thing. He said, you don't even have to go far. You can go in your backyard and just sit and observe nature. And that is teaching so much to your children about what do bugs do in the grass, or observing the birds that fly around. And that's all part of the effective sharing. When you walk outside and you say, oh, wow, look at that sunset, and your children look up too. It's just slowly but surely teaching them that nature's awesome.
Yeah. What does he say in Dinosaur Train? Like, get out there and make your own discoveries.
Right. He does do that. I forgot.
And we actually say that sometimes when we do go on little family hikes, nothing crazy like what you've done. But and my husband will say, we're out here making our own discoveries.
Oh, I love it.
It's fun.
I love it. And I do want to also have a disclaimer. Like, my children are not perfect. And at every given moment on every single hike, we have at least one kid crying or whining, because that's just the nature of children. So when it happens that they're all happy, it's nothing short of a miracle. But I just don't want parents to be like, what? My kids cry when we hike. Yeah, so do ours. It's just children. So don't let that discourage you. Just keep doing it.
And what makes it worth it for you, even with the crying and the whining?
What makes it worth it for me is when we get back in the car and we say, what did you like? And each child has a different part, whether they picked up — my 4-year-old son, his favorite thing is to find water and bugs and mud. Or my oldest daughter will say, oh my goodness, I loved how I could hear those chipmunks fighting, you know, back and forth. And just what they notice as we are together, I feel like I've arrived as a mom. I really do. I just feel like I'm entering those glory years where something that I love and am passionate about, they are expressing that love as well.
I love that. And that, I feel like that goes beyond just hiking, or what your passion is this. But
yes.
I feel like for any mom, sharing your passion with your children really is like the glory moments of motherhood. When you see that they are growing to love it too.
Absolutely. And that is so funny you say that, because that like ties right along to my second takeaway, which is create a family culture. And not every family loves to hike. Not every family loves to camp. And that's just fine. I have an older sister. They are not into camping. I think for her, roughing it would be staying in a hotel that wasn't a Marriott. But they are really into sports. Like, her son is an amazing baseball player. And so that's their family culture. They do sports. And I think each family needs to figure out what they love and make that part of who their family is. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah, and part of their adventures. Like their adventures may be driving to different cities, to different cool baseball stadiums and watching games there.
Exactly.
Different things. Like adventure can be any number of things, whether or not they're outdoors.
That's exactly right. And I have another sister whose husband is really, they both are actually really into movies. And that's part of their family culture. And they go to plays all the time and expose their children to these amazing cultural events that my kids have no idea about because we don't really watch movies. But it doesn't even matter. They have their beautiful culture and it works for their family and they love it. And I think we often feel like being adventurous is only being out in nature, and it's not. Being adventurous is trying new things and getting better at it. And, you know, I just feel like sometimes I would hate for any family to say, oh, we can never be adventurous because we don't live near the mountains or we don't live near the beach, and so we don't surf. But everyone can be adventurous within their own little culture that they created. And my family, we are a hiking family, and we say that all the time. We are a hiking family. This is what we do. And my children know it, and we have a little jingle for it, and that's what we are. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm. But it could be, we are a singing family, or we are a serving family, or cooking, or whatever it might be. I mean, and I know all families will have multiple things that they are. It's not like you're just a hiking family.
Right.
But I do feel like adventure in this context of what we've been talking about is really just sharing experiences together.
Yes.
Meaningful outside of the box, not on our devices, experiences together. This effective sharing that you talked about.
Right. And I think that we often as parents get caught up in, well, my kids are too young. Or we love to sing, but I don't know what to do with that. And I think that those are just excuses. Your children are never too young to try new things. And if you don't know what to do or what's around, then do research and figure it out. You know, this is they get one childhood. They get the one shot. And I feel like as parents, we need to make sure we really work hard at making it about them and not what's easiest necessarily for us with creating that culture.
Yeah. And you know, something else I thought about, there was an episode in April on my podcast with Dr. Katie Penry.
Oh, love her.
Yeah. She's a clinical psychologist, and she talks about looking up from your phone. Yes. She has something she calls the look up challenge.
Yes.
And I've also heard her talk about after you look up, look with. So look with your children. She says the problem with our individual devices is that they are individual. So like cell phones and things, she says they're so insular. Like our kids don't know what we're doing on them. They're isolating.
Right.
Versus like a shared experience where you can look together, even if that is watching an old film together. You're looking with what you're doing, looking at the clouds with your kids.
Yes.
And you're sharing and interacting. And I think that's all part of adventure.
Yes. And by the way, that podcast has literally changed my life. I do not get on my phone around my children unless I say, hey guys, I'm getting on because of such and such.
Yes. Isn't she so wise?
Yes. You found a gem in that lady.
Yeah. She's amazing. And then what's your third takeaway?
My third takeaway is to create a season bucket list. And I know bucket lists are really a big deal right now, but we kind of tweak it a little bit and we have our children create it with us. So at about 2 weeks before the beginning of each new season, we sit down as a family and we just, everyone knows, okay, we're doing our bucket list, and they get to share every idea that they want to do. It doesn't matter. One of my kids this is going to be interesting. She wants to go, we have a local snow shack place, and she wants to, for her season bucket list, she wants to try all of their creative flavors that have these funny names. That's what she wants to do. So as a family, our goal is to try every single one of their made up flavors. I know and that's okay. I mean, so we always put on new things. We sometimes have a repeat of the same activities because some things we just love as a family. And I think that having their input is really where they get the buy-in. And so they want to do things. The other key I have to this though, is once we have our big list, and I'm actually looking at my list right now, we have some funny ones this year, but they all work. Once we have our big list, then we sit down, my husband and I, with the calendar, and we actually pencil things in. Because if we don't have it on our calendar, it's just this pipe dream and it's never going to happen. Let's be honest. Life is busy. And so once it's on the calendar, we know it will happen and we figure out ways to make it happen. And then because some of the things are new, like we've never been to Bear Lake, but we're going as a family with my extended family. And so now I have to research, like, what do we want to do up there? What is there to do? I have no idea. And so once you have it on your calendar, research, research, research. I use Pinterest. I use hashtags on Instagram. That's a really good way too to find out what's around. I'll just Google things, be like, what are fun things to do around Bear Lake or activities for kids near, I don't know, Escalante, Utah, whatever it is. And then I read about it and I'm not afraid to like message people on Instagram at all and ask them, hey, do you think this is doable with children, you know, my children's ages? Yeah. And sometimes they say absolutely not because there's 400-foot rappels or whatever. And I'll be like, okay, got it, you know. But I think that people love to help one another. And as long as you find out and research, it's going to be a success no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a significant investment of your time to research everything. Yeah, it is. But I assume that it ends up making a huge difference versus just showing up there and expecting for adventure to kind of fall into your lap.
Absolutely. For instance, that first time we did those slot canyons, we didn't realize that we would have to be scrambling down 20 feet of a cliff. And the next time we took some webbing with us so we could just lower and made it everything, you know, just go smoother. And so those are the types of things I do share on my wandering families because they're little tips that families may not know. Hey, make sure you take a rope with you because otherwise it's really tricky with little kids or whatever. Yeah. But I was going to tell you one of the things, I bet you've heard this. I want to say it was April Perry on your podcast. Maybe it was Saren. I don't remember. Anyway, from Power of Moms. And the quote that they said was, live in anticipation of the memory. And so even after I've done tons of research, sometimes things flop. They just do. And sometimes our season bucket lists, even the things we thought were going to be the highlights turn out to be not so great. But we live in anticipation of the memory because those times that often that they're not so, they didn't go as I planned, they are the funniest memories that we have. And we laugh about it and be like, can you believe? Remember that one time mom took all five of us by ourselves? And that, I mean, I do silly things like that. And
And she forgot the tent pole and we were stuck out in the rain. And,
Or when mom forgot to pack the food, it was sitting at home. You've done that one before. That was a good one.
You're right. Like in the moment, you're just so mad and tired and exhausted and you want to cry. But when you think about how hilarious it's going to be down the road, it does help a little.
It definitely does. And I think that that's part of also, you know, with the family culture, it's this is just what we do. And I'm that crazy mom that forgets food. Who does that? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I have to say that I got on your website last night to prepare for this interview. And I definitely saw a few things on there that I'm like, ooh, like the glamping, the like the nice teepees in Zion's National Park.
Yes.
And so I'm like, I want to do that, you know? So I think your website is a great resource for people if they want to look for some adventures to start
Thanks. Thanks. And honestly, we love glamping. We don't do it very often because it's kind of pricey, but it is a great introduction to camping because it really, I mean, you're still sleeping in sleeping bags most likely, and it's, you're still in nature. You can hear all the noises that you wouldn't. It's just, yeah, it's a good introduction to camping.
Yeah. Well, thank you. This has been really helpful and inspiring. I feel like this episode's going to air a little bit into my summer and into the summer. So moms may be needing a little reboot of motivation at that point in the summer. Can you remind us again one more time what your three takeaways are?
Absolutely. Number one, create opportunities to learn how to be adventurous. Number two, create a family culture. And number three, create a season bucket list.
All right. Great. Thank you so much, Shemaine.
You're so welcome, Rachel. And all of a sudden I hear screaming kids. I got to run.
Okay.
Thanks, Rachel.
Bye.
Bye. What's going on?
I purposely left that ending on there for you because I love it and I thought that you might love it too and get it as a busy mom. And here's a little of my own mom chaos. I have two little ones here who want to make some cameos, telling you about some of their favorite family adventures that they've had.
One time I hiked a Baldy with Dada, a big mountain.
Yes, Noah and Dad hiked the mountain, and Sally and I rode up in the gondola. It still counts as an adventure, right? Okay, two announcements before we end. One, don't forget about that workshop in Utah on September 28th and 29th. Go to my website, 3and30podcast.com, or aboutprogress.com to find out more. And second, we have Dr. Katie Penry coming back on the podcast next week. She is the guest that Shemaine and I talked about in this interview, and she is actually going to be talking about looking with our children. She has the most popular episode on the podcast to date about looking up from your phone, and this episode next week is a continuation of that topic. It's the next step, so be sure not to miss that. We'll see you next Monday, and have a great week adventuring with your family.